You have questions, we have answers. This is Jane Muller.
And this is Ken Muller. Welcome to our show, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane. Today, Jane, we're going to continue with our special guest, AJ Kumar, who's a CPA. Last week's show, for the listeners that missed it, we covered a lot of interesting topics about real estate accounting. We just sort of like touched upon it, though. We got into the principal residence, the New Jersey exit tax. We didn't get to cover a lot of other things that we really that the listeners have a lot of questions about, namely investment properties, 1031 exchanges. So so we've invited AJ to come back. And AJ, thank you again for taking time.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
For taking time out of your busy schedule. Again, what we're saying on this broadcast is meant as general information. If anybody has any specific questions, they always must consult their individual accountant. And for those listeners that need an accountant, AJ, why don't you tell us about your firm and how people can reach you?
Absolutely. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Jan. So Sai CPA Services is the company name. My name is AJ Kumar, CPA. I have been practicing for over 25 years now. We have three locations in US. We have 38 accountants, 7 CPAs. Right from business startup, we do bookkeeping, payroll, sales tax, annual tax, and wealth planning. I have 4 years degree in computer, MBA in finance from NYU, a CPA degree, Series 7 and Series 66 wealth planning licenses. When working with Sai CPA Services, you have one point of contact for all your tax and accounting needs. I'm happy to be here. Let's talk about investment properties, 1031 exchange, and SBA EIDL loan. How do we use the SBA loans to invest into real estate? Let's talk about self-directed IRA. Can we invest the retirement funds into the real estate?
Wow. Yeah,
let's at least try to cover as many of those topics as we can. Otherwise, we'll have to have you back every week.
Yes.
Right. So investment properties, they say with real estate, the beauty of it is it's a solid investment. It's normally considered to be passive income, meaning that the IRS looks at it as passive as capital gains. I know that I know a little bit about the fact that if you're considered a real estate professional, unless you fall into that category, most investors, it's taxed as capital gains, and it's not subject to, you're not considered, unless you're a real estate professional, and you devote so many hours, like 500 or 750 hours a year, and you meet all these other criteria. But let's assume, let's talk about the benefits of buying an investment property and being a landlord, and how the repairs and the improvements and the HOA dues and the property taxes and the mortgage interest, how you derive a tax benefit as the landlord.
Absolutely. Great point, Ken. And as you rightly said, investment property is a solid investment. The stock market can go up and down, but we know there is something you can touch, something you can feel when it comes to the investment property. Investment properties are typically considered safer investment as opposed to any other investment that you have out there in terms of stock market, options, Bitcoin. There are a plethora of those things. But when it comes to the real estate transaction, people feel safer about it. And there are a lot of tax benefits around it. Anything that you spend on that property, in terms of repair, maintenance, fixing, they're all tax deductible expenses. Your mortgage interest is tax deductible. Property tax on your primary home, there is a cap on SALT. You cannot deduct more than $10,000 of state and local taxes. When it comes to the investment property, everything is tax deductible. You have an apartment building complex and you pay property tax of $32,000. Guess what? $32,000 is tax deductible. So anything that you see on the investment side, including the depreciation, the main thing is depreciation here. You can have, depending on what type of property you have, if it's an residential property versus commercial property, you can have 27.5 years of depreciation or 39 years of depreciation. But consider a large amount of money that's not going out of your pocket. It's not cash going out, it's just tax deductible. In most rental situation, we don't see any profit. The bottom line profit is typically zero once you take out the property tax, mortgage interest, repairs, insurance, utility, travel, all of these categories. As long as we typically tell our clients, close your eyes any expense that you wouldn't have had.
Right, even cleaning, pest control.
Absolutely. Even the loan, loan maintenance.
Loan maintenance. So it's amazing, the maintenance and repairs. And I think it's a little bit different if you have to replace a washing machine or dryer or dishwasher. I think, but even then, you get, it's like a capital improvement, or, and then there's some, you, there's some deductibility. It's just categorized differently, right? There's a useful life maybe you could talk about.
Absolutely. So if you have a washing machine and if it's costing you $400, we would not capitalize it. If you have changing the roof on an investment property and it costed you $10,000, we will capitalize it. Then we'll see what's the life of the roof. In case of roof, we'll add it to the residential property's value. But let's say if you have capital investment, fixing the loan, which will have 3 to 5 years of life, then you can do a cost segregation study. A cost segregation study costs money. It can cost anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000. So you have to be cost conscious about it. You have to really see, is it worth investing a couple of thousand dollars into cost segregation study? But once you do the cost segregation study on your investment property, let's say if you buy a motel, then the whole building is not depreciated over 39 years. There are certain things, the loan maintenance, which will not last more than 5 years. The rooms will have to be repainted every 3 years, every 4 years. The beds are not going to last for 39 years. So there are a lot of things that you can segregate in different life cycle and then create more depreciation as opposed to just using the straight line depreciation.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's very important. I mean,
absolutely.
I never thought about it. Just like, I mean, if you invest in the floor, for example, if you put a new carpet, if you put a new type of floor, I think that typically is a 5 to 7 years or something.
Yes, 7 years is the safe bet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Absolutely.
And just let's touch a little bit further on the depreciation. From what I understand, basically, the depreciation, if you're on a 27.5 year for residential or 39 year for commercial, that means basically, if you look at the charts, every year you can deduct, if it's, let's say it's a commercial property, you can deduct 1/39th of the value that you, of the purchase value. And that's how the charts, and then there's something called the mid-year. I learned this from my CCIM, the commercial certified commercial investment manager. So I learned the basics. I don't know, I'm not an expert by any means, but I just know the generalities of
absolutely.
It. But basically the concept is, so if you have a commercial property and you spend $2 million for you can depreciate 1/39th of that $2 million, more or less. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, so that's a beauty. That's a found savings, right?
Absolutely. It could be a large amount. And the mid-year concept comes from the fact, if you bought the property, let's say in June or July or August, how much the depreciation going to be for the first year? That we could use either the mid-year approach or just one quarter's approach. So even though we are going to be using it on 39 years, but just for the first year, do I use the full year? Do I use the half year?
Yeah.
Do I use 1/4 of the year? That's where we use either the mid-year. We don't really go with the dates. We don't really say July 17th to December 31st. We'll say half year.
Half year, right. So this is all great stuff for investors, and this is all these are tax deductible every year that they're deriving rental income, whether it be a commercial property or it be a residential property. Now, we should say something that I learned from taking, again, the course I took. With the good, there's always, nothing is perfect in life. So when you go to sell these properties, there's something called the depreciation tax, that all that I learned this from doing my charts and going through and doing this on a commercial property, that it gets a little, and people don't understand it, but all that depreciation you paid, the IRS, you can deduct it from your, it gets back, it gets added into your basis, so it affects your gain, but also the IRS, they take that depreciation, they sum total it, and then you, I think it was like 25% of what you claimed in depreciation, the IRS gets it. When you sell it, they knock on your door and they say, hey, we want tax on it. It's kind of complicated.
Yes, there are a couple of things here, and the way people think, it gets more complicated. So there is no depreciation tax first.
Yeah.
It's called depreciation recapture.
Meaning,
you have been claiming depreciation on your tax return every year.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, every year you are getting tax advantage of that expense.
Advanced,
if you are selling it, then that depreciation has to be added back.
Yes.
That's not actual money. You got the tax advantage. But what a lot of people miss is when you add the depreciation, it's a passive activity. It's not an active activity unless you are a realtor, unless you are spending at least 750 hours in this assignment. So if it's a passive activity, the rental losses are not deductible. The way you add back the depreciation, you can add back the depreciation the loss is created after depreciation. The rental losses that you were not able to claim all these years, you can claim when you are selling the property. So you have to add the depreciation back. And there is no 25%. The number 25% comes from the fact that most people, the tax bracket is around 25%.
So it gets added back into their...
Added back to their income. The capital gain.
And then most of it likely is 25%.
So around 25%, and that's where the theory comes from, the 25%.
Right. Interesting.
Wow, that's a very interesting point.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But still, all in all said, investing in property, commercial and residential, has a lot of favorable tax benefits. And when you sell it, it's not the end of the world. You just have to remember that. You have to consider that so you know when it's the right time for you, when a person to sell based on their individual tax situation.
Especially in the turbulent markets that we have today. The stock market is acting up. One day it's high, one day it's low. Yeah. This is the time when people should consider investing into real estate. The market is still good for the real estate, especially on the investment side, and especially on the commercial side, the prices are not that bad. Prices are still pretty good.
Reasonable.
Right, yeah. Absolutely, right.
Yeah. This is a very good point, right? I have a client, and they were going to sell the investment property. I asked them the same thing. I said, I'm not your accountant because depreciation will be added back. I'm not an accountant. Please talk to your accountant. And after she talked to the accountant, I lost the listing. She said, Jane, you're absolutely right. I can't sell. Because she's planning next year she's going to retire. So because this year her tax bracket is high. Right. So she said, don't worry, I'll call you next year. I said, well, as agent, he said, well, that's a good agent. I said, that's what we should do.
Absolutely.
We should advise you, what's the best for you.
All right, good stuff. Why don't we take a short break and we'll be right back after these messages.
Absolutely.
A state-of-the-art building, approximately 3,000 square feet with a backup generator and plenty of parking, is available for lease. Located on the main thoroughfare in Hamilton Township, the building is zoned highway commercial and is suitable for retail, medical, office, education, and much more. To find out more and see if it fits your business and your needs, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. A two-story building, approximately 5,100 square feet, with private offices and open spaces located in prime downtown New Brunswick, is available for lease. Yes, come on down and take a look. The building is zoned community commercial and has many permitted uses, including office, art gallery, theater, and music studio. To learn more about this property and more, contact Ken at 908-337-9448. That's Ken at 908-337-9448. Attention to developers and contractors. Over 3 acres of land located at the heart of East Brunswick is up for sale. Great location and lots of potential. For further details, please contact Ken at 908-337-9448. You are listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jay Muller on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. Now let's get back to the show.
Okay, welcome back to our show. We're continuing with our special guest, AJ Kumar, a certified public accountant. So we've covered some of the stuff with residential investing. While we're still on that topic, I know we said that we normally say real estate is normally a passive investment. There are times when real estate could be viewed as a active investment and you could be subject to a higher tax bracket. And that those cases would be when the IRS views the taxpayer as a real estate professional. And I guess like you touched upon, AJ, I think they have to have like devote 750 hours towards, managing the property, and they have to meet a whole bunch of other criteria. You can still be manage your own properties and certainly still classify as a passive investment. But if you meet a series of criteria, you become the active investor, right?
Absolutely, Ken. You're 100% right. I want to clarify for our audience, being active is not bad. Being active is actually good. It does not change your income tax bracket. Active income or passive income, both charged at the same income tax bracket. The difference is when you have the losses. Passive losses can only offset passive income. Active losses can offset anything. So if you have the option to be active, in this business, you want to be considered active. A lot of people will cheat on their tax return. See, IRS has a very little room to see if you are really spending 750 hours or not. If you have the realtor license, you may be doing 10 different jobs. But you still say, no, really, AJ. No, I spend 100 hours every month.
Oh, that's...
So people will go out of their way to be considered active. Being active in the real estate business allows you to claim certain losses that will not be allowed or will be suspended, will be allowed later on when you sell the property or when you have the passive income. So people try hard. People will try to go in the gray area to be considered as active investor, right, or active person as opposed to passive.
Right. And let me add something. Accountants, the laws are like you need to be an attorney, because with every rule I found, even taking the course I took on it, there's an exception and there's something.
Yes, absolutely.
Passive, they have something. I don't know if the earnings are still correct, but it was said that passive losses, like you said, are normally limited to $3,000, right? You can only offset passive losses with passive gains up to $3,000. But if your adjusted gross income is 100,000 or less, you can deduct more, but then it phases out. And if your income reaches, I think, 150,000.
That's a different concept.
That's a different concept. Okay, yeah.
So passive loss doesn't have that limit.
Okay.
The capital loss has a limit of
3,000. Okay, that's what it was. Yeah, okay. I got
Ken,
you.
Stay with the real estate.
Right.
Please,
that's
have a good accountant here.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why, you see.
Stay with we know that we do
well,
the
that's
best.
That's why we have AJ here to
that's
guide
right.
us, right?
Thank you for having me.
Okay, that's a different guy.
Yes. Let's talk about another topic, which is a lot of my clients very interested, because in the past few years, Ken and I represent a lot of investors. In the heydays, we're up to probably 150 properties. Now it's still around 100.
Wow.
So a lot of people do ask me about exchange. So,
absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about the 1031 exchange, basically what it covers with real estate and the timetable when you have to make the exchange and when you have to acquire the additional property.
Absolutely, Ken. So 1031 exchange, as the name says, exchange is for exchanging the property. 1031 exchange now has been limited to real estate only. It used to be allowed for any type of asset. You could sell the vehicle, buy another vehicle. You could sell the copy machine, buy another copy machine. All those type of exchanges are not tax exempt anymore. So 1031 is the IRC rule on the Internal Revenue Code. The section 1031 refers to this code. That's why it's popularly known as 1031 exchange. The rule is, if you buy a property by selling a property, in theory, you are really not buying, you're not selling. You are just exchanging one property for the other property. And in that case, you don't have to pay the capital gain tax on selling the property. The property that you are selling for. There are certain rules, there are certain documents you have to file, certain paperwork you have to manage. But in theory, when you are selling the property only to buy something similar, and similar can be defined as investment property versus investment property. Say, for example, if I'm selling an investment property, I cannot use that money to buy a primary home. If I'm selling my primary home, and if I were to buy use that money to buy an investment property, that's not similar transaction. But if I have an apartment building, I sell the apartment building to buy a strip mall, that will be okay, because this is still an investment property for me. I'm a passive investor selling one type of property to buy another type of property. That will still be allowed.
Right. So the 1031 exchange, you have to exchange like-kind real estate, but like-kind real estate is interpreted broadly as long as, so you can have an investment in apartment building and you can translate that into a single commercial building or a strip mall. That's allowed. Or I didn't even
How
know this.
How about Wait. If you sell the apartment, exchange to a hotel?
Well, think about it. An apartment wouldn't be giving you enough money to buy the hotel. But in theory, if you have an apartment building.
Yeah, the building,
Then you have, you are an passive investor.
Yeah.
You don't live in that apartment building.
No.
That's not your primary home.
Yes.
And hotel is nothing but an apartment building, a fancy apartment building where you are renting the rooms by the day as opposed to by the month.
So they're the same.
So in theory, they are still investment property for you as an investor.
Right.
Okay.
And if somebody wants to do a 1031 exchange, they have to go through a like a holding company, right? It has to be a qualified or licensed.
Have to go through an attorney. A lot of attorneys can do this work. It's a simple paperwork. You have the key in this 1031 exchange is when you sell the property, when you are selling the first property, the money must stay in the escrow account. The money cannot come into your account. If money comes into your account, then you do not qualify for 1031 exchange. So the money remains in either the holding company, you can use a 1031 holding company, or you can use your attorney. If the same attorney is doing the transaction for both properties for you, you must identify the property within 60 days of selling the first property and must close on the new property, on the second property, the exchange property, within 6 months, and you cannot touch the money. The money must remain with the holding company, with the escrow account. The question typically we get, let's say if I sold the property for $1 million, the next property that I'm buying is not $1 million, is only $500,000.
Okay, good.
Then how do I go about it? Can I still use 1031 exchange? We'll see the cost basis over here versus the gains over here, and we'll give you the tax exemption for partial amount. So in this example that we are taking, half of the gain will be considered as a 1031 exchange, and you can choose to pay the taxes on remaining half of the gain. What we are saying is it's not either all or none.
I see. Okay.
But the caveat is if money comes into your bank account, then all the deal is off.
Okay. Gotcha. Or let's say what happens if you delay the 1031, the closing, it normally has to be 6 months per the rule. But let's say it delays and doesn't occur for 7 months. Is it still recognized as 1031 and you're subject to a penalty where the IRS would get some of the tax money, or would the whole deal be considered non-eligible?
Well, it depends on the situation. It depends on the fact pattern. If the money stayed with the attorney and you had everything that you did, you can still qualify for the 1031 exchange, but the rule is 6 months. In theory, IRS can still audit you, still come back to you that it's not 1031 exchange. They can still deny your transaction as a 1031 transaction and hold you responsible for the capital gain
tax. And then it becomes a fact-specific case determination where, depending on all the particulars of the situation,
absolutely,
if there was good faith effort and what happened to
absolutely
what caused the delay. And here's another question I have. Let's say you do a 1031 exchange. You sell building A, commercial building A, and you exchange it for commercial building B. And then a year later, you want to exchange commercial building B for commercial building C. Can you continue the 1031?
Absolutely. You are allowed to continue as many times. The caveat is, think about it. Why would the government allow it? Why would the government not go out of their way to try to charge the capital gain? What they're doing is your cost basis remains same. Let's take an example. You bought a property for $100,000. Then you're selling it for $500,000. And you're buying another property for $500,000. The property that you just bought for $500,000 through 1031 exchange, we consider that you bought that property for only $100,000.
Your cost basis, in other words,
cost basis is only $100,000. Now you sold building B to building C. You sold building B for $1 million to buy another building for $1 million. Right. The building C that you just bought for $1 million, your cost basis is only $100,000.
So when you sell building C, your taxability would be roughly $900,000. Unless
if you sell building C for $1.1 million, you cannot say, I bought it for $1 million. Why are you charging me for $100,000?
Yeah.
Because now you sold the property for $1.1 million, building C, so your gain is $1 million, not $100,000 in this example.
That's very important for the audience.
Yes.
Yes.
So you're just pushing the gain.
You're deferring
the taxes only because you did not touch the money. The money came from here, money went there directly. It's an exchange of the property. Your out-of-pocket expenses were what you paid for building A. That was $100,000 in our example.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
About how long have 1031 exchanges been on the books for the IRS?
They have always been there. I mean, as far as I can remember, the last major change that IRS had was in 1984. After that, 1035 exchange was more popular than 1031 exchange at one point of time, where people were changing the insurance policy. If you consider the whole life insurance policy, they have a lot of value in there, because they have large premium, monthly premium, and people were allowed to exchange the policy under 1035 exchange. But now all those things have been stopped. Only now the exchange is only allowed for real estate properties. no asset, no machine, no vehicle, only the real estate.
Wow, interesting.
Simple.
Well, but it's good. At least it applies to real estate.
At least it does. I'm glad it still applies to real estate.
Yeah, excellent.
Hopefully that continues. Somebody talk about they may take it away, but we haven't heard anything yet about the 1031.
Well, knowing the government, they can take away anything, anytime. But under the current government, we are not hoping any more tax benefits taking away.
Yeah. Okay. All great information. Unfortunately, we're out of time again, Sanjay. So once again, can you please share with the listeners your contact information?
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. AJ Kumar, CPA. I can be contacted at 908-380-6876. Again, the phone number is 908-380-6876.
Okay, once again, AJ, thank you so much for coming on our show. And we're going to see everyone next week. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
If you have any questions, please call AJ directly.
Thank you.
You have been listening to All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane Muller, airing every Sunday at 10 a.m. on 93.5 FM, 1450 AM, Fox Sports, New Jersey. For feedback and suggestions for future topics, go to their Facebook page, All About Real Estate with Ken and Jane, or email them at realestatewithkenandjane@gmail.com or call 732-898-2266.